Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
What's good? My name is Chris Styles. This is Trapping Anonymous. We are back. Thank you first and foremost for supporting the movement. The things that we got going forward and going on, it's just been amazing being a part of Breakbeat. You know, I'm eternally grateful for everybody that's still supporting me, been supporting me. Please continue to support. Do remember the stories that you hear. They do not necessarily reflect real life events. They are used to entertain, educate, or just keep your little homie off the streets. Today we have Bank Robber Anonymous, long awaited. I've been waiting a long time for this episode. And I just can't wait to see what and where we can take it. So with no further ado, my name is Chris Styles, this is Trapping Anonymous. Let's get it.
Hello, my boy.
Welcome home. welcome. Oh, man. Walk me through the first time you robbed a bank.
I was 15.
Wow.
Yeah, I was 15. I was hustling prior, and I didn't want to hustle more. So, you know, because I've always been more mature. So one of the old heads said, yeah, we're going to PA, we're going to handle some things, come with us. All right. You drive around, literally gave me masks. It was a submachine gun. Gave me a submachine gun. Said, all you got to do is go in the bank and stay in there with the gun. I said, okay. In and out, probably less than 2 minutes.
Less than 2 minutes?
In and out.
And that was sort of your inception into...
Fast money.
Fast money.
Fast money.
Fast forward me to the day you actually got caught. Describe that day.
So the day I got caught, back in 15, so I was on Metropolitan Avenue up in Queens.
Oh, 2015.
2015.
Okay, I got you.
It was March. I'll never forget. It was March 3rd, 2015.
Here we go.
My shorty I was dating at the time, she was in the crib watching my daughter. And I literally told her, I said, yo, I'll be back at Go Ham, son. You don't even know. I was in. This is crazy. The text was last night.
The text.
Check this shit out. The background.
If it was to be a bank robber.
In the group chat,
would we be in the
bro. In the group chat, I was robbing banks my whole life. This was in the group chat. They didn't even know, bro.
I didn't know. Would you be a driver, the guy that goes in?
I'm going in.
The guy that makes the plan. I'll be the driver. I know I could get out of here. So I'll be the planner. And
I'm going in.
I'm going in.
That
was the morning you got caught.
The morning. This is March 3rd, 2015. I literally said I'm going in.
Okay.
So
this is the background. This was text last night.
Okay. The day before you robbed this bank, they were just saying, if we were to rob a bank, who would we be and what would we do?
Yes.
That was the conversation.
In the group chat, yes.
The day before.
The night before, March 2nd.
Okay.
It came in the nighttime, and immediately I responded, I'm going in. Yeah.
I'm going in. Does anyone know what that means?
I mean, if from what people seen from like the movies, the going in guy, you got the driver. Of course, there's all the.
Oh, you're the guy that's going to be going in.
I'm going in.
Okay, gotcha.
Like I'm enforcing. Like this.
Okay.
This is what needs to be done.
Okay, bring me to March 3rd.
So March 3rd.
You're not nervous?
I'm not nervous. Never. I've done this. You feel me? So,
okay.
I've done this quite a amount of time. So I'm dolo now. I'm like, yeah, I need to go in and get this money. So I go in the bank. This is where I knew it was spooky. It was raining. And it wasn't a Thursday. Thursday is the best time to rob a bank.
Why?
Deposit days, paydays. So they're going to have more money in the drawer. So that's when you go. Thursdays and Fridays, they keep more money in the drawer.
Okay.
It was a Tuesday. It was raining. It was gloomy. So I'm like, what the fuck am I doing? But I was off work and I was bored. So I'm going to go rob a bank.
Wow.
Yeah. So I went to the bank. The 1-2, how I got caught dolo, I was doing slips. I didn't have to brandish. You see the note, give me the fucking cash.
Mm.
But this one teller, it was a guy, Guys will always have some heroic sense, you feel me? I give him the note, the nigga just stay there and look at the note. I don't have to talk. I have to talk to this nigga like, yo, bro, hurry the fuck up before I start, you feel me? And of course, he moved faster, da-da-da-da-da.
Were you armed?
Of course. But when you're armed and you feel something in that sense is happening, you gotta move fast so you can get rid of said pistol and keep it moving. So I'm in, I finally get the money, I get the fuck out, I brush past the bank manager. I remember the bank manager because I came and he asked, hey, do you need help? I said, nah, I'm good. Get the fuck out of my face.
You have no idea where this is going.
Like, bro, I know what I'm about to do. Get the fuck out of here. So I get the cash, I leave out. As soon as I leave, I hear the klaxons, the police sirens. I'm like, yeah, that's not good.
How did they, that fast?
The trick is this. When you're going into a bank, dot, dot, dot's about to happen. It could be any crime. Somebody shooting at cops, or I hear gunshots, and immediately the cops going to work there, instantly. That's what they're going to do. They got to go in and
drop
serve.
Right.
Exactly. So when I hear the sirens, I'm like, that doesn't sound good. Because if somebody's getting held up or you tell them the cops getting shot, they come in silent. Because they want to surprise whoever's doing said crime.
Right. Sirens meant you got away.
Sirens mean, for me, this shit is not going to be good. Because the sirens you hear, it sounds like the conversion around you. So if your heart's always pounding fast, but now you hear the shit, you're like, oh, nah, I got to get the fuck out of here. So I beeline to Metropolitan. You ever been to Metropolitan Avenue, Queens?
Well, you don't have to give me the location.
I give you the details of everything. I'll show you my indictment and all that. It's all there, you feel me? I ain't tripping.
Okay, I got you.
It's literally there, yeah, exactly. So I'm like, what the fuck is going on? There's about three precincts in the area, but shit is spooky. I hear everything. So I dip into the local Taco Bell, right? Mm-hmm. I call my shorty. I said, listen, if anybody call you, don't pick up the phone from a weird number and don't let nobody in the house. She said, what? I said, if anybody call, don't, you know, Betsy, paranoid ass, don't pick up the phone. Take my daughter back to my baby mother. She said, what? Take my daughter back to my baby mother, and I hung up the phone. So I'm in Taco Bell already. You know how I just had that feeling like, yeah, this is. So I'm sucking it up. I know I'm gonna get caught eventually. I already ditched the gun on the sidewalk a long time ago when I initially left Fox Ave, 67th Street. Mm-hmm. I already ditched it like on 69th, so I was good. So I'm back on Metropolitan Ave, trying to walk like a regular nigga now. Next thing you know, six cop cars. Converge, get down on the ground. Me, I'm like, the fuck is going on? This is where niggas is recording everything. So you got crackers recording, the blacks recording, like, what the fuck is going on? I'm like, I ain't doing nothing. I don't know why they on me. Guns pointed on me and shit. I'm like, get down on the ground. Get down on, he has a gun. Once that one cop said he has a gun, shit escalate. Now he's coming closer. I see the safeties clicks off. So I'm getting on the ground.
Like, yo, you got it.
I'm on in the middle of the street. They literally told me to get in the street. I forgot the person. So get in the street. I'm like, the fuck? I'm on the sidewalk. I get on the street. Of course, nigga put the knee to the back. What he got? I'm like, what the fuck? I ain't got no gun. What the fuck is going on? And so eventually, pick me up. They arrest me. These niggas high-fiving. Like, we finally got you. We finally, what the fuck is going on? After I'm in the back seat, the niggas that got me, they high-fiving, dapping up and say, we got him. He said, we finally got your dumb ass. What the fuck you talking about? He shows me wanted posters. Wanted posters, like, yeah, from what? Staten Island, oh. Queens, Brooklyn, like.
These are all the locations that you hit.
Of course, so yeah.
And when you would go, it was that easy?
It's literally that easy.
You go in, here's the note, take the money. What was the biggest score?
84,000, Winsburg Savings Bank.
What the fuck did you do with that money?
I was 18 years old, I want a settlement. Damn near $1 million, like $889,000, legit. Yeah. I put some away, of course, but money goes fast. When you have a lot of money, it literally goes fast. And nobody
can
tell
you what
the
fuck. Can you talk about the settlement? What was it for?
So the settlement, remember back in the day in Brooklyn, the chip paint? You know what I'm saying? Lead poisoning?
Yeah.
My parents capitalized.
I still get those things in the mail.
My parents capitalized, and I won a settlement when I was 12 years old, $889,000.
You yourself?
Me, it was mine, all of it, 889,000. Yeah.
What did you do?
I mean, first thing first.
Even back then, that's like.
I was 18. First thing first, trips, clothes, gear, because I was so used to that lifestyle from doing crime, like now it's amplified more. Now I can get even nicer shit, even bigger diamonds. My diamonds was $20,000 in my each ear, you feel me? 18 years old, you feel me? So I went from 15K is to $20,000. So now, you know, everything is elevated. Dolce & Gabbana sweatsuits in high school, now I can elevate to Gucci sweatsuits. You feel me? That I'm getting. So it was a different kind of money.
And just blowing it.
Yes.
So how does, like, I just, the transition from $889,000 to, all right, let me get this note. And how did you get into the note, writing notes to, yeah.
This is what happened. Before I started the notes, I started back robbing bank. After I put money up and I had my daughter, I was like, oh, I gotta slow down with this shit. So I put some money up. So now I'm working regular jobs. I'm in the culinary field. I'm working a job, $12 an hour. I'm like, this ain't cutting it. Like, it's not cutting it. Like, rent's getting paid for and shit, but I can't buy this, I can't buy that, I can't do this, I can't do that. So yeah. I called my man up, like, he's like, all right, I got you. And back into robbing banks, but then they slowed off because two niggas got jammed up. So I was like, fuck, I'm doing myself, so.
And then you go into, so they sit you down. There's these wanted posters of you. Now they're like, we finally got you, you dumbass.
Yeah.
And so what's the charge that they hit you with?
In the state. So it was the state that got me first. So I was in local, with the local police department. And so they're talking, they're cheering, they're happy as hell. They're sending two detectives in. They're like, you hungry? I said, yeah, I'm hungry. I made them niggas order me pizza.
Ironically.
I remember this. I made them niggas order me pizza. And they got me some pizza. I'm eating the pizza. So what you got to tell me? Literally, it was a black guy and a white woman. He said, what do you have to tell us? I said, I'm not telling y'all nothing. Eating the pizza. He said, you serious? I said, I don't have nothing to tell you. He's like, hold up. They were gone for like 30 minutes. And they came back, so what do you have to tell us? I said, he said, literally know where you live. I said, it's on my ID. Of course you know where I live. Like, I'm shit talking. I'm never really giving the cops nothing. It's like, so who else are you with? I'm like, literally, I'm by myself. They don't believe me, I'm by myself. Because this is what I learned from the cops. They said, we got you for 27 known and unknown bank robberies. I'm like, okay, I'm by myself. It is what it is. So I'm not giving them nothing. I ate half the pie, so they sent me back to my cell. And so a cop comes and say, yeah, we're letting you out. I'm like, what the fuck is going on? I said, yeah, come on, you're leaving. No cuffs or nothing. Nigga, take me out. Leave out the cell. It's the feds. I'm like, good. That's what I wanted.
You why?
Less time. Less time with the feds. And in the state, when you do those kind of crimes in New York and it's the state, they're going to hit you with more time. They just give you any time you want. Mm-hmm. There's no mandatory minimum. Right. In the feds, there's mandatory minimum.
Gotcha.
So with my criminal history, mandatory minimum, I'm like, yeah, I'm going to be good in the feds.
Right. Okay. What was your criminal history?
When I was younger, I got caught with two guns, but I used to take my guns apart. So you can't work an inoperable gun, so they can't charge you with that. So I beat New York State twice with inoperable guns. So you feel me?
How long did you get when you went
for feds? I got 3.5. I got 65 months.
65 months.
Yeah.
And all of the money that you acquire from these banks, assuming you get to keep that money?
This is what it is. So the trick is not to put too much money in accounts because they will freeze everything. And if you got extravagant shit, the feds will take it because they're going to say you pay for it with crime. So.
And if you have a what?
They're going to, if you have a nice house, yep, nice cars, yep, they're going to immediately think it's crime. They're going to take it. I was working and working a good job. So they really couldn't do nothing because my pay stub showed, like, yes, he making money. Then they get like, why are we robbing banks? Why not? Like, that's where the money's at. Why would I not rob the banks? Mm-hmm. So, you feel?
What was your time in jail like? What was that first night for you like?
Federal, in my prison or when I was in holding MDC. So before you go to your original jail, you're going to be in holding MDC.
Yep.
Literally, I was good. Mm-hmm. Old heads there, mm-hmm. homies there, everybody you know is in jail. Like, that's why it's weird. It's like, so yo, what you need? You need something? Yo, make your call your shorty, have her send you money, shit like that. So everything was really good. Even my whole bid, I came on a compound, niggas gave me a bag. Say, yo, make a call, I'm gonna get your shit together. Niggas gave you a cell phone.
This is what prison was like for you?
In federal prison, yes.
It was, so what about like the gang tales and the fighting and the, you know, that's not a thing?
This is, it is, in federal prison, it is always a thing. It's politics all the time. But while you in prison, there's lows, there's mediums, there's maxims. And so I went to a low. With my criminal, I went to a low. So everybody's in a low, is trying to get to a satellite camp, trying to get to a camp. So there's no beef. There's really no wars until you get into the thick of it. It is a little bullshit, but nobody's doing nothing. Everybody's trying to go home. It's either phones or K2s.
Got you.
That's the biggest issues. Like, niggas don't really get poked up. Niggas ain't dying because niggas want to go home.
Right.
So word. Mm-hmm.
It's funny. I hear that commonly, more common than not, that you know, prison is bad, but it's like, you know, it's manageable, especially if you're from the streets. It's like you learn how to navigate different people, different personalities. Mm-hmm. What about your mental state? How's your mental state at this in these moments at this time in your life?
I literally remain the same person.
It's funny you say that, because I get that from you.
I literally remain the same person from when I was 10 to now. I'm literally remain the same person.
It's almost
I laugh
like,
and smile through everything. You said, what the fuck you smiling for? I said, why the fuck not? You see me, I'm always smile. I smile all the time, even in prison. I had niggas in prison watching Chop with me and Food Network. Like, niggas, y'all gonna chill out. We go watch some Food Network.
But it's almost like unconscious. Like, you're conscious. Do you have one?
Like, this is the only thing on my mind.
Is there anything that tells you maybe this is not a good idea, or this is a really fucked up
decision? Robbing the banks, or
just overall in life?
In life,
does that voice kick in?
I live in the moment, doing everything. My nickname is Rush. They used to call me Pop because that's how I move.
That's how you got the name.
Because this is what we're doing.
That makes sense.
So that's why they go, Yo, Rush. Nah, I ain't doing that. So when niggas like, you ain't doing it, niggas be surprised when I say, nah, let's not do that. Are you thinking? Like, nigga, I always think, but I don't want to do it.
As fast as you make an impulsive decision is as fast as you can make a determining.
Like, yeah, I'm not doing it. That's a fact. If I don't want to do it, nigga, you're not making me do it.
Was there ever a situation, was there anything in your life that you've done and you felt like I rushed into this, maybe I should have willed it back, took my time, or made a better decision?
Women, probably, shit. Yeah. Probably with women, but and doing crime and running around, like, no, hell no. Like, you're not even thinking about nothing else. When you got something to do, and that's like, I'm gonna do it, that's all you're thinking about. Like, I'm gonna do it. Like,
it's crazy because, like, even in like a lot of the books that I read, like this philosophy is what they try to teach people to have, like this sort of, you know, laser focus on the present, what it is right in front of you. Mm-hmm. It's just you use it to do everything.
Literally everything, from crime, cooking, women, my child, I'm gonna use it to do everything.
How does a person go from sticking up banks and transition to a master chef?
So I ran away to Colorado when I was 16.
You ran away from home?
Yeah.
Okay.
So something had went wrong on one of the jobs, and they said, yo, we gotta get away. So I literally chose Colorado off a map. I chose Colorado, and when I got to Denver International, they had white vans to take you to the surrounding area. I chose Boulder because I liked the name. Literally, I went to Boulder, Colorado because I liked the name. That's where I was at.
And you didn't tell your parents nothing?
My mom knew, my brother knew, and only one of my sisters knew.
So you ran away to Colorado, and what did you do there?
While I was there, I was in Boulder for a while. I wasted my money, and then I found a plot.
Oh, yeah, you were rich at this time.
No, I was 17. I wasn't rich yet.
Okay.
I only had the money I had.
Okay.
So I had, I was in Boulder, I wasted my money, and then there was a place in Estes Park, Colorado called Eagle Rock. It's like an outward bound school where like the troubled youth go. So a bitch I was fucking with, an older bitch I was fucking with out there, had to sign me up to Eagle Rock. And while I'm in Eagle Rock, I could have finished got my GED, but while I was in Eagle Rock, I learned carpentry and like sewing, little shit like that,
yeah.
Like labor skills. And then I got to the kitchen and it was up from there.
How did you find that love for sort of food? I sort of hear you talk about food and it's like you can talk for hours.
Nah, literally, yeah. My grandma Emma, she's from the South, she used to be in the kitchen. My father, he used to be in the kitchen. And my mom traveled for school, so her love for food came from being overseas in France. And she passed that on to us. So once I got in that kitchen, the first dish that I had to make from being in the kitchen was my favorite food my mom used to make was chicken Alfredo, so it was over from there. Once I see the reaction I got from people eating the food, like, oh, this is better than the chef make it, it was over.
What kind of place does it put you in to sort of be in your zone, in the kitchen, with your cutting boards and the flavors, the ingredients, like, where does that put you?
That's that rush element. That's where rush comes in. So a lot of people that know me, they call me Rush in the kitchen. They get that, they see where I'm at, that euphoric feeling. When I'm in the kitchen and I'm doing my 1-2, I tell everybody, get out the way. Like, I'm in charge. I'm running 4 stations. Like, y'all stay over here. They see it like, oh, this nigga's in the groove. Mm. That's how I feel. Like, you know, if I'm in the bank, now I feel that same feeling while I'm in the kitchen, while I'm in control, I'm handling everything. I'm dishing out the dishes, and all I have is my expo. One of my sous chefs on expo, make sure the dish come out right or putting it together. So
this rush is your high, and you sort of stay there all the time.
Yes.
You see where I'm going with this? You know, like, you could be at some point, you would want to maybe balance yourself and find that center. You know, I know you said with women, sometimes you regret rushing into it because it's sort of like maybe jams you up, and you're sitting there going back and forth with these, you know, so just applying sort of some kind of like a balance, like, I'm sure, like, even with your mastery now in the kitchen, you know, talk to us a little bit about what you do now.
So now I work for a company called It's a high-end catering, fine dining, some of the biggest venues in the United States and in the Caribbean. So I'm an executive chef. I oversee about 500 staff members and 4 executive chef, sous chefs. So that's what I do, you feel me? I'm the guy they call for like photo ops. And when celebrity chefs comes, I cook for the celebrity chefs. That's my
You are like the definition of, like, if you put as much energy as you put into those games, you would be 4.0. You know what I mean? Like, you sort of took your energy that you put into crime and then putting it into the cooking, and like, look at you, like,
you remember, I sent y'all, when I got my offer letter, I sent it to y'all. Y'all remember. But that was for sous chef, though. Not executive chef, that was for the sous chef.
Right.
The executive chef came 3 weeks later, but I remember when I got the executive chef, I called my mom. It's funny you said that. I literally told my mom, I said, Mom, remember you just telling me to stop playing on them games, you're wasting your time? Mm-hmm. I said, your mom, they just made me the executive chef, and they give me X, Y, Z. She's like, get the fuck out of here. I said, Mom, yes, they gave this nigga X, Y, Z. So,
wow.
Word.
Wow. You know, word. Congratulations.
Yes,
I think,
sir.
That is just an amazing, amazing feat. What was it like when you first held a gun?
I just told you that story. This is hilarious. So I was 12 years old, and we used to do shifts. I was living up in the Bronx. We used to do shifts up there. And so, of course, I was running late because I was like an idiot. And my partner, he got robbed. Some niggas had robbed him at Eden Wall Projects up in the Bronx. And so we went to niggas, and niggas said, y'all better go get that shit back. They didn't give us no gun or nothing. So I went to my brother. My brother gave me a gun. He said, do what you got to do. I know who my brother is. I know what he meant. I was ready to kill some niggas for whatever it is we have to get. So at 12, we walking around, the sun setting. This nigga's a bitch. He's like, man, we got to go home. I mean, we got to get our shit. So eventually, we find these niggas. So immediately, I go up to the niggas, I said, y'all robbed my homie, we need a shit. Of course, niggas proceeded to give us our shit back. I seen the power of the gun, how fast they move, so I took it a step further. I want everything, so I'm taking these niggas' wallets, I'm taking their money, and I'm taking their jewelry, fuck it. So we take everything, and then from there it was over. I didn't want to leave the pistol ever. 12 years old, it's like, literally you can make anybody do anything. Like, life or death, like, niggas is gonna move, they're gonna jump. Like, nigga, give me this now. So, yeah.
Do you still operate with these same tactics?
Always.
Still?
Always. Always.
Even with your life?
Even in if I'm on a meeting, I'm on a call, somebody, yo, that's not going to work. No, this is going to work because I'm telling you it's going to work and you're going to do it. I'm talking to whites like this. Like, listen, I'm your boss. You don't listen to me, I find somebody else that's going to listen to me and do it.
But without the gun?
Without the gun.
Okay.
But see, my company knows my background, so they know I will, if I have to, I will, you know. I won't, but white's a fucking pussy. If I talk to you, if I'm telling you to do something, you going against me. If it fails, you were right. But if I'm telling you to do something and it works, get the shit done. Like
another quote that I would always hear growing up was, there's always someone bigger and badder than you. What happens when you run into that guy? I'm sure you've met that guy before, whoever he may be.
I got two people that's bigger than me in my company. The CEO and the culinary director. We see eye to eye. For one, I'm making the company loads of money. Y'all can use me for photo ops, and it's good for y'all to have a felon on your books that's this talented, who's black, because, you know, companies are going for inclusion, diversity inclusion now. So now they say, oh, he's the way he is, the way he handles products, and he knows his numbers. You can be a great chef, but to be an executive chef, to be a standout, you have to know your numbers. Labor costs, food costs, P&Ls, you got to be on top of those things, DSR reports. If you don't know those things, nobody's going to hire you to be executive chef because you have to know your numbers. So the fact that I know these numbers without school, they're like, all right, yeah, he knows his shit. We need him. We got to keep him around. And the staff respect him. You can't have a leader there or a boss that's there and the staff don't respect him. It's not going to show in the food and the quality.
How about someone that was bigger and badder than you in the street?
In the street? The streets is always different. You always got to answer to somebody. And you can't just act just to act. There's always somebody that you have to answer to. So if you say ever had beef with a nigga, it has to pass the chain of command. You can't just say, oh, I'm going to go get this nigga. That's why these little niggas got it wrong now. You have to ask for approval before you take that next step, even if you're fighting a nigga. Because who knows if he's doing dealings with said guy or X, Y, Z. So.
What's the worst that's gotten for you in the streets?
Probably when I was younger, uptown, living them damn Jamaicans. It wasn't nothing against me, is the way they used to talk to my sister and her friends. So, sister came in the house, niggas was licking up, me and my boys was licking up, and they said, oh yeah, they called us bitches. You know, now niggas, in our heads, we think, oh, now we gotta do something. Niggas like, we just gonna fight them. No, I had an AK. I went up the block and shot the block up. Yes. I went up the block and shot that shit up.
Was it AK-47?
Young as hell, AK-47, shot the block up.
How do you even get an AK-47?
Money talks. You can literally get anything with money. Anything.
An AK-47, I'm sure you hit somebody.
Four. I hit four people.
I was afraid to ask, but like, did they die?
Nah. When I was younger, I was always taught aim below the waist. Old heads, nobody wants to get murdered, but yeah, below the waist, so yeah. And the AK is crazy. That shit jumped like a mother. So you gotta try your hardest to keep that shit down.
Because it.
Yeah.
I don't even have to ask you, what do you see yourself doing if you wasn't, you know, robbing banks? Because we can see the quality of your work now. Mm-hmm. Do you ever get the urge to go back in for the fast cash?
I'm not gonna lie, yes. Yes, I have a safe on some restaurant sites, there's safes. I go in the safe, I'm like, it'd be so easy to take this shit. Like, it'd be so easy, but you know.
What stops you?
The money they're paying me. The bonuses I get, you feel me? Why would I risk that when I'm getting, so.
What was school like for you?
My sisters, I got five sisters, I got three brothers. I'm the youngest boy, so.
Large family.
We had large family, cousins and all that. So growing up, I felt like going to school, we were so smart, I felt like I didn't need school. And so, I was in ninth grade, I was like, and 10th grade, I was like, I'm just not going, I stopped going. I felt like I didn't need it. Everything else teaching me, I felt like I knew already.
And your family, were they sort of like very frustrated with you growing up, or just like, you know what, that's just.
I wasn't in their house. I was living on my own, so I wasn't living with my mom. I was gone.
Where you live?
I was staying up in the Bronx with my boy. We had literally bought a house, young as hell, bought a house, and yeah, that's where he was living.
From the streets.
Mm-hmm.
Selling drugs, robberies,
mm-hmm.
Whatever it took.
Mm-hmm. I was giving my mom for rent, money for my sister so they can go shopping. So like.
You have any regrets?
None.
Not one.
It's who I am now. I can't be, that shit made me who I am. Like, I'm not, no regrets. No regrets. Literally none. It is what it is, but none.
Is karma something that you think about, or that's prevalent?
I probably would have got it already by then. That's why I don't really believe in karma. Don't make fun of that kid, your kid gonna come out ugly. My daughter's beautiful. So my karma gotta be bullshit. I make fun of every kid still to this day. Or you gonna end up crippled. You know them crippled kids. I used to make fun of them. I don't believe that stuff.
Well, I think karma is more to do with, it doesn't have to be like that deliberate. Like, okay, because you called a kid ugly, you know, your kid is gonna be ugly, you know what I mean? But just sort of like a universal law that like, you gotta kind of like have a moral code and just treat people right, and that's just so that good things can happen for you.
And that's my moral code. I employ only blacks. If they felons, they're top on my list. I'm actually starting a felon program with my job. They're implementing the program in September. So felons, any felons that come out of prison, they're gonna get jobs. Actually open up a whole new restaurant. It's gonna be just felons, and I'm being charged with that. So, you feel me?
What did your job say when they found out that you were felon? Were you upfront about it, or was this like—
They knew with the background check.
They did the background
and
check.
They talked to me. I had three people from HR call me and said, listen, we know you're this, but I had a guy in there, I loved him. He vouched for me, he said, yes, he did this, but this is what he done since he came out of prison.
Wow.
I'm 2 years removed from prison. He said, look at his resume.
Wow.
So they took that leap, and it's the best thing they ever done in a long time. So they got me running a resort in Bermuda this summer, bro.
Wow.
What's
something that you would tell someone that sort of feels like they've thrown their life away to crime or prison, and they kind of, you know, want to get a career one day, but they feel like the world is, because I think something about your story that's like not really overstated is like, you work hard.
Not literally, you have to put in the work.
You work
know,
really hard.
Literally, I was working before I got to where I'm at now, 3, 4, literally sometimes 5 jobs. They're like, how you doing that? It's restaurant work. I can work at 40 restaurants if I want to, but I'm gonna keep working and working and grinding and grinding. New York City is so massive, but the restaurant world is so small. Yo, send that chef over. Yo, send that chef. Yo, no, not him. Send him over. People actually start looking for you because they remember your food. Like other chefs that eat the food, like, who the fuck made that? Yo, yeah, have them come here. They want you to work in their restaurant. They work in their restaurant. Everything is word of mouth in New York City, in the culinary field. So if you that nigga and you busting your ass, they see your hard work, but they're tasting the food and how good it is, they're going to call you. People literally calling looking for you. So you got to put in the work. We can't be, oh, I'm a chef. Yeah, I know there's millions of chefs in New York, but what makes you different?
What makes you different?
Show us, show me. You can say it, but show me.
Well, what makes you different?
Oh, me? The grind, the work, the realness. I can't be phony. Even in front of cameras, you'll see some of the videos coming out. I just can't be phony. And they love that about me. They say, listen, just don't cuss.
That's a lie.
Same way I talk to y'all, same way I talk to these whites in board meetings, just be real. Be real. Smile all the time, you know, be authentic, you know, but your food has to meet that quality. You can be that guy, but is the food like that?
This is Traveling Anonymous. My name is Chris Dabbs. Let's get it. How many banks did you hit?
I had 3 banks in February. I know that last one was 49,000 for All-Star Weekend, and I was sick because I wanted to enjoy my birthday. You feel me? You feel me? So,
We did not know where that money was coming from. It was all cash.
Bands.
I got you.
No, don't worry
about it. I wish I could live that freely. I feel like you're just so free, you know. I'd be thinking, overthinking it too much, you know. Even you sometimes, I'd just be, I'd be in my own head.
I'm good now.
But that wasn't. You did 3 that month. Were you? That was probably like a 6 overall, right?
No.
You came in November the year before.
So I was charged with 6, but my first indictment was 27 known and unknown. They had to prove those. They couldn't, so they had to switch the indictment. And I was, you feel me? Yeah. You feel me? So.
We're not gonna specify.
Yeah. So. As long as I was having a good time, my daughter's school was paid for, she was healthy, my baby mama was good, my rent was paid, I didn't care.
I wouldn't have believed it if I didn't see your face in the paper.
Literally my boys called me, I was out of jail. Niggas said, yo, why you didn't tell me? I said, why would I tell you, bro? Why would I tell anybody I'm robbing? It's like, I can't, I'm having with you a split to take, nigga. This is mine, bro. Like,
but you had no shame.
No.
And your mother never Never worried about what mama might say?
I never had a, see, me and my mom relationship ain't that good. Mm. So I never really had that. Even when I was hustling, I'm gonna give my mom money. My mom never would ask like, oh, where you get the money from? Like,
so what do you mean your relationship wasn't that good? Like what happened?
I was in foster care, I grew up in foster care and shit. I was always independent before all my siblings. I was just more independent than them. Like I was gone. I didn't rely on my mom. Like people like, mom, I need to get. I never relied on my mom. Like,
were you always in foster care? Was your all your brothers and sisters?
I got older from my father's side. They're older. Three of my two of my brothers, one of my sisters. So I got six siblings, and so we went to foster care when I was four. First, my grandma took us in, and then we was back out of foster care with my mom again. They went out of foster care. Then our aunt took us in. We're staying with my aunt and shit, so we went back to my mom when I was about 12 or 13, but by then I was gone.
Did you sort of resent her for that?
Nah, no resentment. It's all love. You know, I still call my mom when done. Only thing I probably do resent her for is that she didn't reach out to my big mother when I was in prison, but besides that, it is what it is.
Y'all speak till this day?
We text each other.
How about your dad?
He's another nigga. Fuck him. I don't really, you know. The only time I really talk to him, holidays, hit me up. I hit him up, but I don't care. Hmm. I just really don't care. I have a daughter like to worry about. I don't got to worry about it. It is what it is.
As a kid growing up with sort of that looming over you, you know what I mean? Did you ever find yourself like really like angry about that or?
No.
You just always was just like so.
You see this? This is real. Mm-hmm. My sisters, my cousins, my family, auntie, friends, always had love around me, always. So mm-hmm. I never really even second thought, like, damn, why my mom didn't know? For what? Love from my aunties, family, my sisters. My sisters, she raised us, so I never, not one time that, like, fuck, damn, my mommy don't. I wrote them a letter when I was in prison. They both didn't respond because I tear in their ass, but it is what it is. I literally wrote my mom a 26-page letter, front and back. She didn't respond. It is what it is.
Saying what?
Everything. I told her everything, how my life was. Shit, my mom never knew. I told her everything. Literally, everything's in that letter. I promise you, she still got it. She didn't respond. It is what it is.
You ever spoke to her about that?
Nah. And I don't care to. Don't care to. Because then it's now like, damn, now I got to feel some kind of way. Or my mom probably feel guilty because how she was as a parent. But nah, I'm not stressing that. I can't be. Mm-mm. Then, nigga, what's the matter? At work, are you good? Like, I'm good. Last thing on my mind is what my mom think or my father think about what I'm doing. They congratulated me when they found out I got this big job and I got this promotion. They're happy for me, you know, because I'm still their son. But it was a congratulation like you give a colleague. That's how I took it. Because I don't care about them in that regard, truthfully.
Wow. I mean, you know, still mom and dad.
Yes, but no.
Yeah.
You know, those are the parents we have. That's not the ones I chose. Yeah. So, it is what it is.
Oh, man. I mean, so much of who we are and what we are comes from our inception. So much of how we are, the way we are, comes from our upbringing. Mm-hmm. So, it's just like, you living with that for so long and maybe sort of suppressing those emotions just so you could go to work, just mm-hmm. so you could take care of your child, just mm-hmm. so you could take care of your home. You know, you got to kind of just keep like, you know what? That's not going to help me right now. You know what I mean? And, you know, I respect it. Mm-hmm. I respect it. You know, I think that there comes a time where it always comes out, and that's what I'm usually like most fearful of. Like sometimes you'll just be chilling there. You'll hear a song or something, you just burst out crying. You know what I mean? You don't even know why, you know what I'm saying? Or somebody say something to you, you get just so angry and you don't know why you feel that anger. Like what is this? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And just like so much stuff that we didn't address, but so much stuff we got bottled up and we got to keep going, especially as men. We got to keep going, keep taking care. Don't matter mm-hmm. until we crash and burn. It's like, I don't feel like it should be like that. You feel what I'm saying?
You're right. I'm in therapy. I go once a week.
Fine.
It's online, it's virtual. I go once a week. It helps just to talk it out, but That's literally the last thing on my mind. And I got to hear this all the time from other relatives. You're just like your father.
Wow.
And they're 100% right.
Wow.
Like, genetics is crazy. Just like him. Look just like him and everything. Just not tall like him, but.
Yeah. I always say, like, that the apple doesn't fall too far from the tree, but it's up to us to sort of determine the tree that grows from us.
Mm.
Like, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, we can't control the tree we came from, but we could control the tree that we grow. You know what I mean? And who we are and how we administer to our own and sort of try to, you know, change, you know? So once you can, we can't control that.
Can't.
But I can control this right here. So,
that's right.
You know, we give our best, man. I really appreciate you opening up. And
you know me, I'm like,
man. You put me off for long enough, man. But, you know, I think it was the reason we met, we sat down, and we got to get to these stories. I'm sure that a lot of people is going to, you know, really benefit from hearing your story, your voice, and, you know, Maybe we'll be back here one day. Maybe not. Yo, this is Trapping Anonymous. My name is Chris Styles. Peace.
Yes, sir.
Let's get it.